The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 31, entitled The Modest Man's Fashion, we chat with nationally acclaimed fashion blogger for men, Brock McGough. Hi, it's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com. Welcome to the Elite Man Podcast. Our guest today is a nationally acclaimed fashion blogger for men. He runs a super cool fashion website for vertically modest men, aptly titled TheModestMan.com. Brock McGough, thanks so much for coming on our show today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. That's quite the intro.
Thanks. Brock, what is The Modest Man, you know, all about? I know we kind of gave a quick intro right there, but can you just tell us, our listeners, you know, a little bit more about what you do on your website?
Yeah, kind of like you said, it's The Modest Man is all about helping men who are below average height dress better and ultimately feel more confident by wearing clothes that fit and flatter, you know, their specific body type.
Cool. And, you know, how'd you get into that? Like, what were you doing before you set up The Modest Man? And, you know, what made you inclined to kind of start your own site?
Well, I had been experimenting with, like, internet marketing, online business for a little while. I actually read a book. I can't remember when exactly this book came out, but right after it came out, I read a book called The 4-Hour Workweek. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized that the book really hit me in a hard way. And I kind of realized two things: that first of all, I wanted to figure out how to make money in a way that was location independent, so that didn't require me to stay in a specific city. And then I also wanted to figure out a way to make money in a way that wasn't like trading my time for money, like trading dollars for hours. So I got into like building websites, search engine optimization, and to be honest, I had a few websites that totally failed. You know, didn't get any readers or traffic. And then I was still working at a kind of traditional office job, and I was looking to upgrade wardrobe because I had to start dressing better. You know, I'd gotten kind of advanced in the workplace a little bit, and I couldn't find any clothes that really looked good on me. I just knew I wasn't really dressing well compared to other guys. And I realized, you know, that it was because as a smaller guy, I'm about 5'6", 130 pounds on a good day. and you know, I couldn't find clothes that fit. And so I Googled, I searched the internet for kind of advice. And there's a lot of good style advice out there, but I couldn't find anything specifically for smaller guys. So I kind of just started the blog that I wanted to read.
Cool. And, you know, I can totally relate to you too, because I'm 5'7", you know, standing up on my tippy toes, standing up, you know, as tall as I can, counting my hair. And it's tough for guys. It's tough for shorter guys to really find something that fits them well, because like you said, if you're shopping for, you know, the typical man or even like tall men, you know, guys 6 feet or whatever, it's harder to find. Fashion's more geared for the guy who's 6 feet tall or at least 5'10". And the guys who are 5'6", 5'7", below, it's just, they don't really make enough clothes for us, I feel like, to fit. So it's great that you're out there, you know, giving your advice and stuff like that. Why is fashion so important, though, besides, you know, why did you choose this? I mean, there's so many other topics out there, so many interesting little niches to kind of go down, but I know you kind of mentioned it, but why do you feel like fashion is so important in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are, I guess, in the realm of like self-improvement, there's a lot to cover. And I think, you know, blogs and podcasts like yours, for example, do a good job at, you know, painting the full picture, whether it's, you know, fitness or health or your job or relationships, how you dress, you know, all these different things. For me, you know, at the highest level, guys like us who do, you know, actively want to improve ourselves, I think when you look at all these different things in our lives, everything kind of falls into two buckets. There's stuff that you can't control, and there's stuff that you can't control. And most things are out of our control. So, like, for me, that would be, like, my IQ, my height, of course, you know, where I was born, who my parents were, just all these things. And I think it's really easy to dwell on these things that we can't control, which is, you know, a waste of time. And so if you look at the realm of things that we can control, you have fitness, our skills, our knowledge, and our appearance, and, you know, other things. But inside, like, if you look at all those things, I think dressing well is kind of the low-hanging fruit. Like, it's easier to improve your style than to, say, transform your body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of focused on that. And, you know, hopefully I'd like to talk about other things, you know, in the future, but I think that dressing well is a great place to start.
Great. So basically you focused on something that you have control over, something that you can manipulate in a sense and make better, rather than something you don't like your height, which obviously is never going to change at this point for guys like me and you. It's just that's where we're at. We can't change that. So why even focus on that?
Sure. So, yeah, exactly.
And yeah, fashion is a great place to start. And I love that answer. What do you want to take the site in the next few years? Like, where do you see yourself? What are some of your upcoming goals for the Modest Man? Like, where do you want to be in, you know, 2, 3, even 5 years from now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot about that these days, especially. I left my full-time job at the beginning of this year, and I was working for a big company doing digital marketing, and, you know, took kind of a pay cut to pursue the Modest Man full-time. And so I want to get it. My immediate goal is to get it to the point where, you know, I can live comfortably and you know, keep the lights on, of course, but also, you know, save money and have enough money coming in, I can expand the business. And so my plans kind of are to obviously grow the readership and keep doing what I'm doing, just, you know, better and more of it. But I also kind of want to pivot into some other areas. So it's funny, like, I think business these days is kind of the opposite of how it used to be, where you used to come up with a product or a service idea and then try to find people to buy it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these days it's like we build an audience and then figure out what they want and then make that for them. So yep. I'm in the audience building phase, and I'm starting to figure out what they want. And so, you know, one day, like right now, it's like ebooks and blog posts and training, but I think one day it might be, you know, a clothing line. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's awesome, man. I really like that too. And I think you're totally right. It's all about, you know, building the audience first and then seeing what their needs are, rather than trying to have a product and have no one to sell it to, really. So you're right. It has totally changed over the last few years. So, Brock, I got some kind of, you know, rapid fire fashion questions for you, if that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to rattle them off and try to give, you know, our audience your best tips here. So number one is, what are your best basic fashion tips for shorter guys?
For shorter guys, it's going to be just to wear clothes that fit, which is easier said than done. If I could pick one thing specifically, it makes sure, you know, make sure your pants aren't too long and your sleeves. And if they are, just go to a tailor and have them fixed.
Cool. How do you get great deals on custom-made attire?
Yeah, custom menswear. You can spend a lot of money on custom clothing if you're not careful. I think the good news is these days we don't have to get like a fully, you know, bespoke, made from scratch suit. There's a growing made-to-measure industry, and there's a ton of different companies who you know, we'll help you get into a custom suit or a custom shirt. It doesn't really matter which company you go with. I mean, do your research. I read a lot of reviews about various, you know, custom clothing companies, as do a lot of other bloggers. So, like, use Google, do your research, pick a company, and then just, you know, email them. Like, join their email list, get in touch with customer service, ask them when they have a sale coming up. When they do, you know, take the plunge, order something. And my tip for going with made to measure is just be very, very specific about your measurements and don't settle. So, like, if your suit comes in, your shirt comes in, and there's even one little thing wrong with it, you know, make sure to get in touch with customer support and send it back, have them remake it, do whatever you have to get something that works.
Cool. This is kind of one that I always had on the back of my mind, especially now in summer season. How do you pull off, or what's the best way to pull off wearing shorts?
Shorts are inherently casual, you know, so it's going to be a more casual look. I know that we've seen a lot of people wearing like short suits and like shorts with jackets, and some guys can pull that off. I don't think I can personally. I'm not that fashionable, but for me, like if I'm wearing shorts, whether it's with a t-shirt or a casual button up or a polo, your shorts just have to fit. And so I think most make the same few mistakes, like their shorts go past their knees, they're too wide, maybe they have cargo pockets or unnecessary details. So I'd say in general, you can pull off shorts with any sort of shirt, but you've got to make sure that they stop before they hit your knees. They can be shorter if you want, but they can't be longer. Nice and slim fit, just like your pants. And if you do that, you'll be ahead of most guys.
Cool. Any clothing, you know, cheap clothing hacks that you can add to your wardrobe?
Well, in terms of hacks, I mean, I would say you really don't have to pay full retail these days. So everything's always on sale, especially at like the major stores like Banana Republic, J.Crew, Nordstrom. There's always a sale. So it's almost more rare that something's not on sale. So I would say that it's worth it for most guys, especially if you don't have an average body type, to only buy stuff on sale and then take that money that you saved and spend it at the tailor.
That's a great idea. General fashion tips for men. Do you have any, you know, basic general tips for all men, whether short, tall, big, wide, anything? Just some of the basic, more common ones?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a broken record when I say that you have to wear clothes that fit. And I know that, like, especially if you read style blogs or like really any like men's lifestyle kind of advice blogs, like you always hear that it's the most important aspect of clothing. And I really don't think that can be overstated because it's just true. So I would say that, you know, take a good look at yourself. If your clothes don't fit, maybe size down, maybe get a tailor. But beyond that, once you kind of have fit down, study up on color. That's kind of like the big second most important aspect of style, in my opinion. And color is complicated. You know, there's a lot of different aspects to it, but at the basic level, it's about two different things, about skin tone and contrast. And if you want a good tutorial on these two aspects of color, I did a webinar a few weeks ago and put the recording on YouTube. It's called Color 101, and you can check that out. But it's worth, you know, spending a couple of hours trying to understand your skin tone, your contrast levels, and then you can wear clothes that kind of gel with your natural color.
Great. Yeah, definitely have our guys check that out for sure. It sounds really cool. And Brock, what's some of the bigger fashion blunders that you see guys make? You know, some of the more common mistakes that guys might not be aware about?
Well, there's, you know, again, I mean, just wearing clothes that are too big and like generally too big, too long, too wide, whatever. That's probably the number one thing. And you really can't even walk down the block, like down the street, without seeing at least one guy who's wearing, you know, jeans that are too long or something like that. But I think that one, you know, quick win that every guy can kind of take a look at is their footwear. footwear is, it's easy to get wrong, but like the truth is you only need like 5 or 6 pairs of shoes to sort of meet your requirements for every type of occasion. It's really more about what to avoid. Like you shouldn't be wearing like pointy toed shoes or square toed shoes. You know, you should probably try to avoid like the sneakers with suits or like polished dress shoes with jeans. So kind of try to match the formality of your footwear with the formality of your outfit. And if you have any old outdated shoes, you know, that maybe were cool 5 years ago, you know, try to replace them with something a little more timeless.
Cool, man. All right. That's that concludes the, you know, the rapid fire fashion questions. Anyways, I know there's some really great tidbits in there. So thank you for that. Moving on, kind of switching gears. Do you have any tips for anyone starting a blog, like a new maybe entrepreneur or someone looking to start like a new niche website? Like, do you have any tips for them on how to, you know, go about that?
Yeah. I mean, as someone who's had success with one blog but failed a lot of others, I'd say that the one thing I learned is like just be as specific as possible with your topic. So like really just niche down, and a good way to do this is pick something you're passionate about, obviously, because it's a grind and you will get tired of it. Like you'll get tired of producing content if you're not really passionate about the topic. But then narrow it down even further. So for example, if you love biking, right, and you want to start a biking blog, I would say, okay, add a qualifier to that. So not just biking, say mountain biking, okay? And then niche down even one more level. So say, I'm not just going to blog about mountain biking. I'm going to blog about mountain biking for moms. You know what I mean? like get down to a very specific level, because what will happen is you're kind of shrinking your potential readership, but the people who do find you are going to be like fiercely loyal. And that's kind of how my readers are. Like I love my readers because there's no one else is focusing on them, you know? So when they do find me, whether they're Googling something or they're referred from some other site, they're just so happy that like someone understands them specifically what they're going through. So I would say that, you know, try to choose a topic that's very, very specific.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great tip because, like you said, I mean, there's so many general sites out there. I mean, you know, even mine's kind of like a general self-help for men. But if you really want to niche out and, you know, choose an audience that's specific to what you're trying to sell or what you're trying to, you know, blog about, it's better to have, you know, people who are 100% committed into that. And, you know, even me, like on my site, my newsletter now, it's just like it's self-help. And I love talking about one of the reasons why I switched over, because I was dating before. One of the reasons why I switched over was because I was getting kind of tired of writing about the same thing over and over again. And, you know, having the same guests on the podcast, kind of just answering the same questions. And I wanted to kind of expand. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed after switching sites and kind of remodeling my thing is that I don't have as many people connecting, I'd say, you know, giving feedback on, you know, some of the newsletters that I sent out, some of the, you know, broadcasts and stuff. Whereas before it was a much higher open for a lot of the broadcasts and newsletters, and it was a much more feedback. And I'd say as much as I, you know, enjoyed and like that I switched over the site, that is kind of one downside to it, is that I don't have as much engagement from, you know, a lot of the audience that I had.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. And, you know, but to your point, like you were kind of an expert. You became an expert at dating, you know, and that industry and that topic, and then you expanded. And I think that's okay. Like that's the right way to do it, versus trying to be a generalist right off the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right, because there's just too many people, too many bigger places, you know, companies doing the general thing, and just to try to compete with them, you're just not going to win. It's just at this point in the game, it's too hard, I think.
Totally.
But do you have any tips taking that one step forward on, you know, expanding, growing a blog, and, you know, some maybe techniques on how to actually build up that readership and audience?
Yeah, I'll tell you the two things that have worked for me. One is my background is in SEO, search engine optimization. And so you don't really have to be like an expert at this stuff, but there's some basic things you can do when you're publishing a blog post to make sure that, you know, the search engines favor that piece of content. And it's really, really basic stuff. It's like how you write the title and, you know, adding a couple links to the page and the keywords you use. But it's not, I wouldn't recommend going too deep into that world, but I would just, you know, read some kind of SEO 101 overviews and just make sure that your blog posts are optimizing that way. Because I see a lot of bloggers that miss that, and they're missing out on a lot of organic traffic. And then the other thing is, like the number one thing that I did to grow The Modest Man is I just wrote for blogs that were bigger than mine, you know? Mm-hmm. And I started doing that. It probably took me a year after I started my blog to reach out to somebody and ask if I could write for them. And, you know, you don't have to wait a year. You can do it right when you start your blog. You can even do it before you start your blog. You can start writing for other people and just link to like your Twitter or your personal site or whatever. But, the key is to reach out, you know, reach out and make a connection. They're just people. And, I would say that, you know, when you reach out to any blogger or anybody, whose attention you want to get, you know, don't ask for something right away. Just connect, you know, just connect and say hi. And then once you have a relationship, it's totally okay to make a request. And that's what I did. And a lot of the guys that I consider my peers now are the guys who let me write for their sites, you know, a couple of years ago. And that's really what helped me get traffic.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
And touching, you know, back on the SEO part, would you recommend, you know, maybe going out and hiring a guy to do your SEO, or is it better to just kind of learn it and figure it out yourself rather than, you know, paying a guy every month to optimize stuff? Do you I guess I'm trying to say is that worth it to have someone on to actually do that for you, or is it better to just kind of do it yourself and not really be as good at it, but still, you know, kind of save that money and maybe use it in other places?
That's a good question. I personally wouldn't pay anybody to do SEO right now unless you have something that you're selling and that you can track the ROI on. So like if you have a product on your website and you know exactly how much organic traffic is coming in and you know how that traffic is converting and how much money, you know, how much revenue that traffic is generating for you, then yeah, you can spend money, you know, on SEO to get more traffic in the same way that you'd spend money on advertising. But I mean, especially if you're just beginning, I wouldn't pay anybody, especially for SEO. I would just learn the basics yourself, and that way you'll have that skill set. And the other thing is, like, there's a lot of people who will kind of do SEO the wrong way, and that might have negative consequences down the road. So you kind of get what you pay for. And to hire somebody to really, you know, really do SEO the right way for you is going to be really expensive.
Yeah, that is one of the drawbacks too of trying to, you know, have someone do the SEO every month for you. It's incredibly expensive if you do it the right way, like you said. But if you don't do it the right way and you kind of do, you know, take a shortcut or something, or if you try to find someone who will take a shortcut for you, you know, like the black hat tricks and all that stuff. And
yeah,
it just kind of bites you in the ass, you know, when it comes back around. So
totally.
It's just so not worth it to try to do that and take a shortcut. I know that the other point you made is a really great one also, you know, just kind of reaching out to people, connecting, and writing for bigger bloggers or websites, even like, you know, some major news websites and stuff that can get you on, just get your name across. I know a while back I started writing for, you know, Elite Daily. They have a pretty big audience. And just giving them articles, you know, every couple of weeks or once a month or something like that. It just got my name out there, and I got in contact with, you know, a lot of other websites through them, a lot of other bloggers who kind of came across my articles and, you know, either liked it and wanted to share it or, you know, wanted to get in contact with me to kind of write for them. So I wish I had started that earlier, because like you said, too, I kind of took a while when I first launched my blog. It was just getting content out there and not really, you know, marketing it and distributing it with other people. So it kind of, I took a lot longer, I feel like, to build my website up than I should have, because I was focusing more on just producing good content rather than actually, you know, making the connections to actually share that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. And it's, I don't know about you, but I kind of felt like I had, I think it's called imposter syndrome, you know, where you feel like you're a beginner and like, kind of like who am I to, you know, be reaching out to these people who are so established and already have all this traffic. And, it's funny. Like I feel like now, after having been blogging for a couple of years and having built The Modest Man to where it is, and it's not huge, but you know, it's getting traffic. And, I feel like if I could do it again, I could do it like five times as fast. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You can read like anything, you know, under the sun. You can read anything from YouTube, Google, or watch videos from YouTube and just get all these great techniques and stuff. But once you actually do it and like apply it, like I feel like we've gone through the experience like firsthand, it's like such a different learning process, and you really get a different grasp of like what works and what doesn't. Yeah. And to have like this knowledge when we first started, I feel like just would have made things so much easier.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's something you just have to, you know, you have to learn firsthand, no matter what other people tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any tips going along with that about actually like monetizing the blog and, you know, making money from it?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same, you know, you got to figure it out. But I'd say that, at least for me, my revenue falls into three categories. And actually I started publishing, income reports, quarterly income reports on my blog. And, I know it's kind of weird because it's a style blog, but, I saw a food blog doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. and their audience seemed to like it. So I wanted to try it out, and it's going well so far. So if you want like really detailed, like a really detailed look into how The Modest Man makes money, you can check those out. But basically it falls into three categories. It's advertising, which is, you know, anything from banner ads, like sponsored posts, sponsored emails. There's affiliate revenue, which is, you know, when a blogger makes a commission from recommending a product. And then there's selling my own products, which right now that's an ebook. So it's a, you know, PDF ebook. And all three of, you know, between all three of those, each of those makes up about a third of my monthly revenue. So there's, you know, those three kind of categories are so different. So there's different tips for each category, but I think the one piece of advice I would give any blogger, especially newer bloggers, is just charge more than you think you should, because your audience is really valuable, even if it's not all that big. And right now, even though blogging has been around for a long time, there's no standards about how much a banner ad's worth or how much a sponsored post is worth. And I think that a lot of bloggers undervalue their audience. I know that I did for a long time. You know, I would accept like free clothes, you know, in exchange for promotion. And that's something that I don't do anymore. But when you first start out and someone offers to send you something, a free pair of jeans or something, you're like, you know, you're thrilled about it. And so I would say that whether it's like banner ads or sponsored posts or whatever you're selling, just charge more. And if people balk at the price or get sticker shock or turn you down, that's okay. You know, you'll find people that you know, value your audience in the same way you do, and those will become long-term partners.
Yeah, it's really great advice, Brock, and some awesome tips on, you know, where to begin starting a blog and how to actually expand it and grow it and even monetize it, like you mentioned. I actually did check out some of those income reports on your site, and I thought that was really cool. I know Pat Flynn and stuff, a couple other guys like that do those income rewards, and just it's a really great way for, you know, entrepreneurs and other bloggers to really get a feel of like how to actually, you know, start making money from the site and how to make that an actual business and make a living from it. So it's really great, man. Keep up the awesome work, and definitely keep doing those income reports, because I think they're awesome. Brock, is there any last takeaway message you'd like to leave our audience, you know, any final send off?
You know, just that I really appreciate you listening, your time. You know, time is your most valuable resource, and the fact that you spent a little bit with us here means a lot. So just if you have any questions about, you know, style or blogging, or just want to say hi, don't hesitate to get in touch. Brock@themodestman.com.
Great, guys. Again, please check that out. It's Brock and his website, themodestman.com. He has really great fashion tips, even blogging tips, like we talked about earlier, and, you know, how to monetize a blog and stuff like that. And his blog is really awesome. His writing's fantastic, and he has really great insights and advice. Brock, thanks again for coming on, man. I know our audience is really going to love this one, and I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you, Justin.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.